Thank you for joining us here at Christ Fellowship for our online message podcast.
Last night I was praying just over this service this morning, the services this morning, and I was just totally blown away. I read a passage in Romans 5 that talks about how the Father has given us the Holy Spirit to pour out His love into us. And I was just sitting there down in my basement all by myself, and just got wrecked by this idea that God loves me, not because of what I do, not because of the things I say or don't say, just because I'm His. And that He's given me His Spirit to pour that love out on me. And so as I was praying, I just had this picture of our auditorium. It's literally what I'm looking at now. That's the picture I had. And just like these massive like rays of light coming down on some people. And it was just the pouring out of God's love upon us. And so here's what I want to do before we open up the scriptures together. I want to just pray that some in this room, if you're wanting to receive it, would receive His love in a fuller measure today. So if that's you, we're just going to bow our heads. If that's you, I just want you to put your hands out. My hands are going to be out because, man, I want to know more of God's love. And so if that's you and you want to receive just a fresh revelation of God's love, experience His love today, I want to pray that for you. And that's my prayer for us, that we would receive it. So, Lord, I am humbled that I get to be here today and that I open up Your word. Lord, thank You for reminding me that Your love for me is not dependent upon how I preach today. Your love for me is not dependent upon anything I say or don't say, any good that I do or any bad. It's purely based on Your love for me that was given through Jesus and my faith in Him. And so, Lord, we ask right now that You would do what You said You'd do, that You would pour out Your love upon us through Your Holy Spirit. Lord, may we have a greater capacity to receive today as a church, but also as individuals. Lord, would You show us even just some way, somehow, even in this hour that we have together, that You see us, that You know us, that You're for us, and that You're with us. God, You are love, and we invite You to show that today. Holy Spirit, as we open up Your word, would You take us in deeper? Would You demonstrate, not just with wisdom of man, but in power, that You are the King? We love You so much. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Go ahead and have a seat, guys. If you have a Bible, go ahead and grab it. We're going to be in Luke chapter 15 today as we continue our series entitled Simple Story, Hidden Truth. Today I have a football story to start out with. It's not anything to do with last night. I promise I won't mention last night, but I just did. But that's all right. I won't mention it again. We got some redemption prayers to pray after this. But so my son, my littlest son, is 6 years old, and he is playing his first season of flag football, and we are having a blast. And so yesterday he had his game, and we're playing, and it's a tight game going back and forth. And all of a sudden I hear my little son say, "Daddy, daddy, daddy." And I turn around, and his leg is just filled with blood, like just dripping down, like saturated already. And so, you know, I do what any good dad is. I go over and I grab with my hand and pull off all the blood and wipe it in the grass. Why? Because I didn't want the referee to see that he was bleeding. I'm like, he's going to be out the game if they see blood. So I'm like, wiping it off. I'm like, it's okay, man. Just like, okay. And so the next play, we get him the ball, and he scores a touchdown. And I'm like, oh, no, no, no. I'll take it back. He didn't score a touchdown. No, 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 I'll take it back. He got a first down. And I'm like, okay. And then I hear the whistle, or the guy say, oh, wait, we got to stop. We got a bleeder. And I'm like, oh, man, shoot. And so we stop, and it's Little League. So, you know, we kind of survey the crowd. Does anybody have a Band-Aid? Little Band-Aid. And somebody says, I got a Band-Aid. And I said, man, that's a little Band-Aid. Jesus prayed for the fish. Let's go ahead and do this thing. And so I take that little Band-Aid and I get down and I put it on my son's just gushing blood leg. And you know, it's not going to stick, right? So I'm like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? We got to score. We got some momentum. We can't change this thing. And so, oh, I hit me in my bag. I got some duct tape. Every man, you're like, yes, I know what you're talking about. I get a little fist bump up there. I love it, right? So I run over to my bag as fast as I can. I come back. I got black duct tape. And I said, buddy, it's probably going to hurt when it comes off. But let me just put this on, and we're just going to get it. And so I wrapped up. I put that little Band-Aid first, wrapped it up. I said, we're good to go. I said, buddy, can you do it? He's like, yeah, Dad, I can do it. Toss right, next play, touchdown. It was all worth it right there. Like, it's all worth it, right? You guys are clapping for my son. That's all right. Anyhow, so What did I want to teach him in that moment? Was I teaching him? What was I teaching him? Like, that dad will do anything to win? Some of your dads like, yeah, you are. And so maybe that was, here, let me just tell you once again, a deeper truth that I was trying to teach my son in that moment. There's going to be moments in life where you get scraped up and you're a little bloody. How you respond is going to dictate your future. So did I care that we won the game? Which we did, by the way. No, in that moment, my father's heart, my heart as a father wanted to say, son, listen, there's something deeper here I want you to learn. We're going to get a little grit. We're going to learn to toughen up a little bit. And I want you to give it your all, even in this moment, right? A deeper truth than just, hey, we're going to try to get you out there and win the game. And this is how Jesus taught all the time. Like, he taught these really simple stories. Like, we're like, Jesus, like, you got something more for us? Like, is there something deeper? And he did, but it was just such a simple story. But in those simple stories was this hidden truth, these gold nuggets that if you don't really have an ear to hear, you're going to miss out. And if you don't have a heart to receive, you're not going to actually see it in your own life. And so this is how Jesus taught. Simple, simple ways. But man, it's just such depth in his teaching. So today we're going to continue in our series, and we're going to be in Luke chapter 15. So go ahead and grab that. And before we get there, let me make sure we're all on the same page here. You know, Jesus, one of the chief reasons why Jesus came to this earth was to reveal the Father and the Father's heart. If you wonder what God looks like, man, we can look to Jesus. You wonder what God sounds like, what he would say, we look at what Jesus said. You wonder what God would do if he was walking this earth, we look to Jesus. That's what Colossians 1 says, that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. The Spirit Father, the image of that God is wrapped in flesh and his name is Jesus. The Hebrew writer says that Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. And just sit there and think about that for a second. Think about the glory of God, the radiance, and Jesus is that. And then he goes on and says that Jesus is the exact imprint of the nature of God. Like not 99.9%, exact imprint. That the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in who? In Jesus, right? And so when Jesus walked this earth, he was revealing the Father and the Father's heart. Jesus even said, he said himself, this is what Jesus says, listen, I can't do anything on my own. Yeah, we figured we can. Isn't that interesting? Jesus says, I can't do anything else on my own. I only do what I see the Father doing. I only do what I see the Father. And by the way, I only speak with my words what I hear the Father speaking. So when Jesus is teaching, when he's healing, when he is raising the dead, all of this, everything he did, when he's speaking identity over the woman with the issue of blood, all of these things is a revelation of the heart of God and who God is and what is his character like. This is what we see in Jesus. So when we look at Jesus' teachings, we can begin to understand just a little bit more about this invisible God. And so today we're going to look at the heart of God in these couple stories that Jesus says. In Luke chapter 15, we're going to look at the first two verses here first. It says, now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, this man receives sinners. If you have your Bible, go ahead and underline receives sinners and eats with them. Now remember the context of what Jesus is teaching. He is teaching to a bunch of people that were the outcast of the religious society. They were the ones that weren't welcomed in, and so they were kind of the outsiders. They didn't do all the right things. They did too many of the wrong things, and so they were gathering around Jesus. And it says that those people were drawing closer to Jesus. Those people that were on the fringes, they actually wanted to be around Jesus. And outside of those people were another group of people that we know as the Pharisees or the religious leaders, and they're there as well. They want to hear. Now, whether some of them wanted to hear because they really wanted to understand, or whether they wanted to hear so they could try to accuse and trap Jesus. It's probably a mixture of both, honestly. But they are there as well. So you got this group of people that were considered sinners by society, and then you got these religious people that were considered not so sinners, right? That's the context. And what Jesus is doing in here is he is having people that the religious leaders would never go to lunch with. He's saying, hey, come closer. Come here, I want to teach you some things. Let's go grab a burger and let's talk about life. What's it look like to hope? What's it look like to be one with God? The religious leaders, they didn't want anything to do with it, right? Because they had already put up a bunch of hindrances, a bunch of roadblocks, a bunch of obstacles in the way. Because the religious leaders, they're like, man, we got everything together. Like, we are doing our duties. We've got the law figured out. And so if you don't meet our standard, you should not be able to come to the Lord. Come to the true God. That's what the religious leaders were saying. Here's one of the profound truths we need to understand, that the religious spirit rejects, but the spirit of Jesus receives. The religious spirit, here we see it active. The religious spirit always rejects. It always finds a way to hinder somebody from coming to faith. It always finds a way to put an obstacle in front of somebody from coming as they are to God. Yet Jesus says, if you come to me as you are, I will receive you. This is the difference between religion and Jesus. Religion says you got to do these things in order. You got to clean up your life and all these. Jesus says, you know what? Just come here, buddy. Come here. I'm going to teach you some things. Right? Now, when we read this, we could easily say, you know, my title is not Pharisee Derek Harden. And you would say, man, I'm not religious. You're not religious. And when we do that, we maybe miss out on what God wants to challenge us a little bit today. And so here's what I know about my own life, is there are plenty of times that I have projected upon others some things that God has not said. Anybody else ever done that? Like, in order to come to God, you got to do some things. And we fill in our own list all the time, just like the religious leaders do, right? And we do this with our words sometimes. We do this with our actions sometimes. We do this a lot of different ways. But I'll tell you, the way that's really been weighing heavy on me this week, and I'm just asking the Lord, Lord, will you give me grace to explain this and to communicate this, is one of the things we don't talk about, the elephant in the room in the church very often, is the impact of social media. And you're like, yep, you said it, yep. And you know, social media is not of the devil, right? You guys know that? I mean, it's pretty close, but it's not like fully, like I think it's a great platform. Like, I think amazing things can be used. Just like anything, we can either take it for good or we can make it and use it for bad, right? But here's what I wanna tell you, is I've had some conversations outside of this church, but also inside of this church, where people have asked this question. Let me just lay it out there. I'm just gonna say what I've heard. I really struggle worshiping with some people in the church because of what they've posted on social media. Not that they disagreed with the stance on politics or social issues, none of that. It's how it is communicated. And how one side and the other, and honestly, both sides of whatever debate, honestly, tend to demonize and dehumanize one another. And when that happens, guess what? The religious spirit is alive and well. Because we are actually hindering people from community and even coming into a greater faith, right? And so I want to challenge you and for you to think about what are you using your words for? Are you building an on-ramp to the kingdom, or are you making a roadblock? And just because you have the freedom to say something does not mean that that thing honors God. I want you to know that. And listen, I'm not going to be the social police, social media police. That's not me. Like, I don't want that title, by the way. Zero desire. I don't even get on social media much because I just don't even like it. So that's not what we're doing. And that's not what I'm doing here. You have full freedom to do whatever you want. You totally do. That's the great thing about America, by the way. We can do whatever we want and share. We got all these freedoms, but that doesn't mean that you should. And the way you frame it up, we should consider how we are in it. Because here's the thing, I love discourse. I love having conversations. Here's the thing, at the end of the day, we are gonna disagree with one another. That's one of the great things about America. We don't have to get all on the same line and march the same thing. That is beautiful. We should celebrate that because that's the creativity even of God. But when we disagree with somebody, can we honor God and can we honor that person in it? I'm a little old school and I think we can. But I'm gonna tell you, I don't think we do that very well on social media. And so I just want you to consider, next time you're gonna post about some polarizing issue, man, have an opinion, have a belief, but man, for God's sake, don't write off your testimony because you want to be right on social media. Don't do it. So I don't know anybody that's come to church because somebody wrote a raving, crazy criticism of another person. Nobody's come to faith because somebody pointed a finger and called them Satan. Not gonna happen. And so we see here the religious spirit is alive and well in Jesus' day. And I would put before you, it is alive and well in our day as well. It comes in different ways, but it still comes. And so Jesus is setting up this scene where he's having a conversation with people that are in need, but he also is having this conversation with the Pharisees, the religious leaders. And so he begins to tell a story, two stories we're going to look at today. And the first one, he says that there was a man, or what man of you having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Once again, a very simple story about a shepherd. Everybody would have known a shepherd in the day. It's not like, let me scratch my head and my contacts and my phone. No, we knew shepherds in that day. So this would have been really relevant. And I love the picture of it. Remember, Jesus is painting a picture of the Father's heart. And what he shows the picture is the shepherd goes and he seeks out in the wilderness or in the open pasture country. He leaves the 99 and goes to find the one. And when he finds the one, he picks it up and puts it on his shoulders. It's a beautiful picture of God. Because let me ask you the question, what did that sheep do? Bam! That's what that sheep did. The shepherd, though, came, found it, picked it up, put it on his shoulders, and then walked him back home. Listen, if that's not a picture of Jesus, I don't know what is. Listen, Jesus finds us. He doesn't require anything else from us than to receive, right? God finds us. Our role is to accept it, right? This is what the sheep shows us, right? It's just literally bang, like just, no, God finds it. The shepherd finds it, puts it on our shoulder, and comes back. And you say, Derek, well, I've said before, that I found God. I've said that, by the way, before. Anybody else ever said, man, I found God? Anybody else would be bold enough to say like me? Here's the thing, God's never been lost. Like he is revealing himself, the scriptures say, in countless ways to us every single day. He is not lost. And he said, Derek, what about Matthew 7:7? It says, those that seek will find, those that ask will be answered, and those that knock, the door will be opened to them. I would say that I totally agree, obviously, by scripture, by the way. I'm aligning myself, hopefully, with it. I would say what we do is when we seek is we actually find out that God's been there the whole time. Not that he somehow showed up like a genie in a bottle. He's been with us the whole time. When we ask him, what we find out is that he has been answering us the entire time. And when we stand at the door and we knock, what we find out is he is the door to the room that we want to be in. See, we don't find God. He is pursuing us. He is the one looking for us. Our role is to receive and accept that. That's the only thing we do, is to receive, have a posture of receiving. He goes on and tells a similar story. He says, or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if he loses one, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it. And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Once again, similar story, something that was lost and then something that was found. What I want you to write down next is that God is drawn to that which is lost. God is drawn to that which is lost. Luke 19:10, Jesus says himself, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the what? The lost." The heart of God revealed through Jesus is that he cares about and is drawn to and is attracted to that which is lost, that which is broken, that which is hurting. That's why Jesus, when he walked the earth, he healed all kinds of sick and those with disease. You break out disease, it's dis-ease. If you don't have peace in your life, guess what? God is right there waiting to give it to you. This is what Jesus came to give us, came to bring wholeness. And we see that he's attracted to the lost. My friend Jamie Winship says that God is attracted to chaos. Some of you are like, man, God is attracted to my life then. And I would tell you, you know what? He is. If you got some chaos in your relationships, God is right there with you. You have some chaos in your body, man, God is right there. You have chaos in your finances, right there. I think all that chaos is an invitation for you to see what God is doing and find out who he is. God is drawn to chaos. He's drawn to the lost. But those that are lost, that don't recognize that, never receive. You see, that was the Pharisees' issue. Like, they thought they had it all together. They had all their cards played right. They were doing the right things in the right order, not doing the wrong things. And because of that, they failed to recognize they had a need and therefore they could not receive. The same is true for you and me. If we never recognize our need, we'll never be able to receive. Because when I have hands that are like this, even if there's nothing there, if my hands are like this and I perceive that I have what I want, I can't receive what I don't know I don't have. Does that make sense? Anybody else tracking with me? And so the Pharisees, they were like this. We got this figured out. And so they couldn't even receive the God that they poured out their life to study when he was right there in their faces. Open our hands up to receive. This is what God is teaching us in this parable. And what he's teaching us is the heart of God. And as his followers, we want to align our lives and our heart for the things that God loves, right? And so how do we love like Jesus is speaking of here? And I would say that in order to extend that love, it's going to come at a cost. In order for us to extend this extravagant, crazy, all-pursuing, grace-filled, mercy-filled love, it's going to come at a cost. It cost Jesus his life, by the way. Some theologians say Jesus was put on a cross for who he ate lunch with. Have you ever thought about that? It came at a great cost. And so for us to extend this same kind of love on this earth as Jesus did when he was on this earth, it's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us our pride and our ego. It's going to cost us to not push send on a text or to send or to post on a post. You see, for us to extend love like Jesus, it may look like showing grace and mercy to somebody who votes differently than you, somebody who thinks differently about a social issue than you do. Extending grace and mercy and love to somebody who worships a different style or even a different God than you worship. Jesus was really good at that. Or maybe for you, it looks like extending love to somebody who would live a lifestyle that maybe you don't agree with. See, the religious spirit rejects anybody like that. But the spirit of Jesus receives. And I'm telling you, and I've told you before, if we are going to walk the way of Jesus as a church, there will come a cost, right? Because we're going to embrace and receive people that many people would not receive, right? And that comes at a cost today, that when we do that, when we go to lunch with people that, man, many of the religious people would not go to lunch with, man, red flags. They must not have good theology at that church. Or they go and we minister to a certain group of people that most of the religion, oh my goodness, they have no backbone. The same things they told Jesus, right? If we're going to walk this path and pursue extending this love, it's going to come at a cost. But for us to do it, I think I have to learn this first thing is that God is more willing to accept us than we are to be accepted by him. I want you to write this down, because if you heard nothing else today, just wake up for 1 minute and then you can go back to sleep. God is more willing to accept us than we are willing to accept him, be accepted by him. Now I'll tell you, this is why so many that are religious struggle accepting other people, because they don't believe they're accepted themselves. They feel like they've got to earn, they've got to do the right things, and if they can't do all the right things, they're going to project that on other people and hinder them from coming to Jesus themselves. This is what religion does, and this is not what Jesus does. He receives. Now, if we could understand this, that God accepts you where you're at today more than you would actually accept yourself, it would blow and change your mind. Because this is the next parable that Jesus talks about. We don't have time to go into it in detail, but he talks about these two sons and an older and a younger one. The younger one takes his part of the inheritance, runs off on crazy living. He's known as the prodigal son. He finds himself in a pig pen, hungry. And it was that hunger that motivated him to go back to the father. And what did the father do when he met him? He said, go clean, take a shower, go clean up. No, he said, hey, you know what? You still smell like a pig. You're all skin and bones, but come here. I want to hug you, and I'm going to give you all that I have. But there was another son there, the older son, that we don't talk about very often. That older son, he was out working in the field and he heard the commotion, he heard the party, and he asked a servant, "Servant, what is going on?" And they said, "Your younger brother, who everybody chalked up to being dead, he's come home and your father is so excited. And they're throwing a party, come and join." And it says the older brother was so angry. He's bitter. "How dare my father do that?" And the father hears about this. And he's still working out in the field. And the father goes to the older son and says, son, listen, come to the party. You're invited. I want to give you good things. And the son says, listen, I've been doing all of these things day and night, doing all the right things. And you've never even given me a fattened goat, let alone a calf. I'm not coming. So what was happening there? He wasn't willing to receive from his father. You see, in this story, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they are the older son. And what the older son had an issue with is he was looking at himself as what he did and not whose he was. You see, he was basing his relationship with his father with his ability to do all the right things, to play it safe. And he failed to recognize that as a son, he's been given everything. But because of that, he wasn't able to receive what the father was offering him. And therefore, he never got it. And so we're going to end with a song here in a second that I just want you to just spend a few moments. We don't get a lot of moments of just sitting and thinking in our culture of fast-paced moving. Then we're going to sing some more. But in this next song, it's a song that's going to challenge some of our thinking about how God views us. It talks about how God actually enjoys us, that there's a pride in God's eyes when he sees us. And for many of us, that's going to be really hard to hear, but I want to challenge you to think like Jesus thought, that God meets us where we're at and pours his love on us then if we'd have hands open to receive it. So today I want to pray for us before we move back into worship, and we're going to pray from truth, right? We've just talked about a bunch of truth, God's heart, and now we're going to sing about that incredible truth of what he's given us. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Man, thank you for your overwhelming, never-ending love. Thank you that you pursue us, that our role is just to receive. And so, Lord, I pray even as we sing these next couple songs that you would download some revelation of your love into us, that we would encounter your presence here, that we would receive all that you want to speak to us even over these next couple songs. So Lord, would you speak to us? Let us know how you see us and how you long for us to be closer. Lord, thank you that you are the good shepherd and your sheep hear your voice. May we hear your voice even in this moment, Jesus. Amen.